the supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans. And I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salam alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special, where we are talking about taking sins lightly.
إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يوما بيده ناصيتي يا أليما بذري ومسكنتي يا یا خبیرم، به فقری و فاقتی.
But first, let us look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 17th of Rabiul Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of November, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At this time, we listen to a chapter of the Holy Quran, a verse of chapter An-Nisa from the Holy Quran, verse 31.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. In tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhawna anhu nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum. نكفر عنكم سيئاتكم وندخلكم مدخلا كريما.
If you avoid the major sins which you are forbidden, we will remove from you your lesser sins and admit you to a noble entrance into paradise.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is understood from this verse that sins are divided into two groups, the minor sins and the major sins. We also recite in Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18 of the Holy Quran, verse 49, that on the Day of Judgment, when sinners see the record of their evil deeds, they say, "What a book this is! It does not omit a small one nor a great one." According to the Islamic literature, a great sin is a sin for which Allah has promised fire to its performer. As I told you, we're going to speak about taking sins lightly. The religion of Islam is a complete code of life, which devises guidelines for its followers in every walk of life. Allah the Almighty sent His last heavenly book, the Quran, the Holy Quran, on His final and last messenger, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, which contains useful instructions for Muslims. It clearly informed them about forbiddance of wrongdoings and sins like the nations before them so that they could be successful in both the worlds. Every person has the conscience to differentiate between right and wrong, which calls for taking even minor transgression as a great means of destruction. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, saying as, "Be aware of the minor sins, which are often thought of as insignificant, for they are like a group of people who stopped in the bottom of a valley. One of them brought a stick, and another brought a stick, until they had gathered enough to cook their food. These minor sins, if a person is called to account for them, will destroy him."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners, in this show we are going to talk about the little sins, or let's say small sins that sometimes are going to be a prelude to a big sin, and we have to be careful not to be tempted by Satan. And we have to consider that the worst sin is to think of it as a small sin. So today, inshallah, we shall talk about sins in general and the importance of enlarging the sins in our eyes and not to considering any sin as a minor sin. Actually, sin means doing an act that is inconsistent with the laws and decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty. Acting based on actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made forbidden or abominable for mankind. And Allah has determined the types of forbidden and permissible things through prophets and prophets and his messengers. And they all actually expressed themselves in the form of a religion. When a person opposes Allah's commandments willingly or unwillingly, he opposes the one creator of the universe and does not obey Allah's orders. Therefore, he considers his lustful desires to be ahead of Allah's decrees. So a person who is used to sinning and does not feel ashamed of his sins before God, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his soul remains like a horse that lives in the desert and grazes whenever he happens to be in the desert and does not care about anyone. He does not ride. Such a horse is called a wild horse. And no matter how beautiful and graceful it is, it is not as valuable as a black coin. But a horse that is tame and gives its owner a ride has its own value and prestige in the eyes of its owner. So he actually takes the attention of those people.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio. You are with today's special. And in this part, persistence in minor sins. The 40th grader sin according to the Holy Quran and the traditions of Ma'sumin, infallible imams, peace be upon them all, is committing a lesser or minor sin repeatedly. For example, Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "And constancy upon the smaller sins is a greater sin." In the same way, Imam Reza, peace be upon him, considered, "And constancy on sins a part of greater sin." Similarly, we have a tradition of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, who says a smaller sin which is committed again and again is a greater one, and a greater sin for which one repents does not remain greater. That is, if one commits a greater sin and repents sincerely, there is no punishment for it. But if one does a smaller sin again and again, it assumes the form of greater sin. There is a tradition from the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, that says one of the sins of wretchedness is repeating a sin.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see is thanks to you.
Now come here, we want to speak about amazing tips to stop sinning. We need to survive and hold ourselves accountable, what is known as muhasabah. in Arabic term. Because the seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kazim, peace be upon him, in a narration states that every day, if you do not hold yourself accountable, or at least every few days, once a week, once a month, you are not one of the followers of Ahlul Bayt. I need to reflect on the rewards of my deeds and my actions. Jannah, this is another amazing tips. Jannah and what can be said about paradise and whatever cannot be imagined in the minds, whatever the eyes have not seen, whatever the ears have not heard, whatever the heart has not comprehended, is in paradise.
One of the greatest disasters and catastrophes that can fall upon an individual is when a person enters a life where sinning becomes a habit, where it becomes very normal to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wake up, you sin. And then you go and you live your life, and then you go to sleep, and then it's everything is very normal. Nothing strange about it, nothing wrong about it, nothing out of the ordinary. And this is perhaps the most destructive thing that happened to an individual. When a person is reckless, when a person is careless and doesn't mind that they are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that lifestyle, it ends up not only destroying the person's afterlife, but it ends up destroying the person's life. We see what happens to liars, for example. You know, you get your Twitter account closed. You see what happens to cheaters. We see what happens to criminals. We see what happens. Sometimes, yes, they get away with it. And in this life, maybe they got away with the injustice. But definitely in the afterlife, there's no running away from justice. So the person who lives a habitual lifestyle of sinning, this person is doomed. This person is going to see the consequences of the wrong that they're doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us sensors, every single one of us. We have a warning system, an alarm system, a sensor, that when we do something wrong, we all feel regret, we feel the guilt, and we feel the shame.
I think it's an important topic for us. So inshallah, we continue speaking and knowing more about this topic, and that is considering sins lightly. That is so dangerous. So we can meet each other on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لا فتى إلا علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Salam friends, and how about listening to a gem of an advice from the model of magnanimity, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. When you gain power over your adversary, pardon him by way of thanks for being able to overpower him.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to recite for you a beautiful hadith and tradition which has been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about the zikr, or the remembrance of God, the reality and the haqiqat of the remembrance of God, the zikr of Allah. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Make your remembrance of Allah for the sake of the fact that He remembers you. For verily He remembers you, even though He is needless for of you." God remembers us, even though He does not need us. You know, He has no ulterior motive in His remembrance of us. And He remembers us simply because He loves us. So his remembrance of you is loftier, more desirable, and more complete than your remembrance of him. And it supersedes it. We remember Allah because we need him. We are in need of his grace and his love. And without it, we would, you know, perish. And so we remember him because of this, you know. Of course, with the reservation that, you know, this is the remembrance of those servants who are at a lower stage of iman and faith than others. There are certain people, like, for example, you know, the saints of God, the awliya, or the, you know, the a'imma alayhimus salam, the prophets. These people, they remember Allah because he deserves to be remembered, right? As Imam Ali said, I worship him because I found him to be worthy of worship. Right? So we're not talking about, you know, that elite category of God's servants and his ibad. Right? We're talking about the lower level of people. Right? So we remember him because he, you know, we need him, but he remembers us because, you know, he loves us, not because he needs us, right? And so his remembrance of us is better than our remembrance of him. And in fact, because of this, he deserves to be remembered. He deserves to be loved. He deserves to be worshipped. In continuation, the Imam says, whoever wishes to remember Allah Most High should know that as long as Allah does not remember his servant in the context of granting him divine succor to remember him, in the first place, the servant will not be capable of remembering him. This is kind of alludes to something very beautiful, that when we remember Allah, in fact, we are being remembered by Allah. Why? Because he is at this time granting us the tawfiq, the opportunity to remember him, the capability of remembering him. And this implies that he is remembering us, right? So if he didn't remember us and didn't grant us this tawfiq, this capability, we wouldn't have remembered him in the first place, right? It's almost like, you know, there's a famous poem in Persian from the poet Sa'di, right? Who says, he said that, you know, it's impossible to thank Allah because when we thank him, right, this thank itself, it deserves to be a matter of thanks, and we should thank God for it, right? And so therefore it becomes impossible to thank him for it. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the zikr and remembrance of God and the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners,
and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we have again, alhamdulillah, some of the students of Sevier International School with us in this session. And before we start the class, let me say hello to each of them. Salam, Hussein Ruhullah, and how are you?
Salam alaikum, sir.
Salam, salam.
I'm fine, how are you?
Oh, thank you. Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Welcome. And Hassan Nasrullah, how are you doing?
Salam alaikum, sir.
Salam alaikum.
I'm fine, sir.
Okay.
How are you?
That's great. Thank you so much. Welcome. So, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, we really recommend you stay with us till the end of the session. Inshallah, you will benefit and we all will benefit from the verses of the Quran Kareem. So, Brother Hussein and Hassan, today, inshallah, we'll be working on Ayah number 59 of Surah Al-Baqarah. All right? Brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, make sure you have your Quran with you and turn to Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 59. So, before we start, let's everyone once listen to this ayah. Sense. That was great recitation. We loved it, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now I will be, inshallah, reciting this ayah. Make sure you repeat after me, okay? Listen and repeat. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
فبدل الذين ظلموا قولا غير الذي قيل لهم
فبدل الذين ظلموا قولا غير الذي قيل لهم
فأنزلنا على الذين ظلموا رجزا من السماء بما كانوا يفسقون
فأنزلنا على الذين ظلموا رجزا من السماء بما كانوا يفسقون.
Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. In the previous session, in the previous ayah, ayah 58, Allah Almighty told the Bani Israel, okay, to enter the door of the Baytul Muqaddas Masjid, right? وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ. And say what? حِطَّة. Forgive us, right?
Yes.
So that we will forgive you, inshallah. The sins that you have committed, we will forgive them. And in this ayah, Allah Almighty says that فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. They changed those who were wrongdoers, okay? Those who wronged themselves, they changed the word of Allah. They said something else. حِنْطَة, they said. Instead of saying حِطَة, they said حِنْطَة. And فَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا رِجْزًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. So what did they do exactly? Was it just changing the word? Or disobeying Allah Almighty?
Disobeying
Allah Almighty. Yes? Disobeying Allah Almighty and changing the command of Allah Almighty. So this is something which is unforgivable. So فَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, we sent upon them, those who wronged themselves, رِجْزًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءَ, a plague from the sky, punishment, بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ, because of the sin, okay, that they committed. Now, there is a question that, Hassan, why we cannot do our prayers in Persian, in English? do your morning prayer in English, not in Arabic. Huh? It's praying. Yes. We pray to Allah Almighty. So, Allah Almighty, really, if I pray like in English or in Persian, I'm more comfortable with that. Yes? So, can we do it?
Because God has mentioned you should pray in Arabic, and likes Arabic than English.
That's it. It's the command of Allah Almighty that you have to pray in
Arabic.
Allah Almighty accepts it in
Arabic.
If it's in Persian, He does not accept it. Yes. Okay, the format, the template of your prayer. If Allah Almighty had not commanded us, had not mentioned it the way like we should pray, of course we could do it in any language. Even not talk to Him, just look at the sky. Talk to yourself with your heart, okay? That was as we'll call the prayer, yeah? But since Allah Almighty has mentioned the way we should pray, so we have to follow. Otherwise, if we change it, the same ayah will be applied on us. The same, okay? فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ They changed the word we told them, okay, to say. Instead of that, they said something else. They changed. So if Allah Almighty has told us to perform your prayers in Arabic, we have to perform in Arabic. And other times, not in the time of prayer, you can go and talk to your Lord, okay, in Arabic, in Persian, in Arab, in English, in Chinese, in Japanese, whatever you want, okay? But when it comes to perform as-salat, the prayer, okay, the five times prayer or other mustahab prayers, you have to pray them in Arabic. You have to perform them in Arabic. Simple as that. Because that is the command of Allah Almighty. For the explanation, I again tell you, please refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah. يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
So, فبدل الذين ظلموا قولا غير الذي قيل لهم فأنزلنا على الذين ظلموا رجزا من السماء بما كانوا يفسقون فبدل الذين all sound very simple فبدل الذين only the long vowel sound okay make sure فبدل الذين الذين right long vowel sound ظَلَمُوا ظَا heavy letter ظَلَمُوا an U sound, right? A long vowel sound قَوْلًا قَوْلًا What is this mat called? قَوْ this mat
مَدُّ الطَّبِي
مَدُّ اللِّين right?
مَدُّ اللِّين
soft mat قَوْلًا قَوْلًا لَن لَم plus it has what? Tanwin Fatha. The next word starts with Ghain. Ghain is from the throat letters.
Yes.
So what rule is applied here?
Idhar.
Idhar. Yes. Idhar is applied. So from those four rules, merge, hide, change, no rule.
No rule.
Option, no rule is applied. Qawlan ghayra alladhi qila. Lahum, no difficult rule. فَأَنزَلْنَا Nun Sakin plus Za from the rest of the letters. Hide, merge, change, no rule. Which one?
Hide.
Hide the Nun sound. فَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ عَلَى أَلِفْ مَاد The rules that I told you in the two previous sessions as well. عَلَى أَلِفْ مَاد plus Hamzatul Wasl. Mad letter plus Hamzatul Wasl. If you want to skip Hamzatul Wasl, you have to skip the mad sound as well. Ala alladhina. This is wrong. Ala alladhina. There is no a long sound, okay? Ala alladhina. Alright, Hassan? Read it.
Ala alladhina.
Ahsan. Ala alladhina. Great. ظلموا ظلموا ظلموا. The next one, رجزم رج ز sorry جيم is ساكن. What rule is applied here with ساكن letters? If قطبجت, not all other letters, قطبجت letters, قاف, طا, با, جيم, دال, these five letters.
قلقلة,
قلقلة, bouncing sound. رج, رجزم, رجزن. Okay, زن, تنوين plus ميم.
Merge.
Merge them together. رجزم, 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 مي, نسما. من السماء همزة الوصل اسكيبت من السماء because لام التعريف is here with the sun letter. Sin is sun letter. Yes. من السماء. Is the mad واجب or جائز? Is it obligatory or permissible?
It is obligatory.
It's obligatory to prolong it for six counts. Why?
Because Hamza is in the word.
Yeah, Hamza is a part of the word which we have the mad letter in it. Sama'a is mad letter. And then Hamza in the same word. Sama'i rijzam minas sama'i bima kanu yafsukun. So that's all we learned, okay? We practiced, alhamdulillah, the important tajweed rules in this verse of the Surah Al-Baqarah. Now, with Tajweed rules, let's listen to this ayah once again. So, alhamdulillah, that was a nice recitation. I hope you've learned. For more explanation of this ayat, I mean the tafsir section, the interpretation, please make sure you refer to the tafsir book and listen and practice with us the tajweed rules. Hassan, Hussein, do you have anything to say? Any questions?
No.
So, see you. Thank you so much. Let's give thanks to Allah Almighty. Alhamdulillah. And thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. See you inshallah. Stay with us with the rest of the sessions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Ya Mawlaya, فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه.
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were discussing this excerpt of the Kumail supplication. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the commander of the believers, says, Ya Mawlai, فَكَيْفَ يَبْقَى فِي الْعَذَابِ وَهُوَ يَرْجُو مَا سَلَفَ مِنْ حِلْمِكِ. My protector, how should he remain in the chastisement while he has hope for your previous clemency? أَمْ كَيْفَ تُؤْلِمُهُ النَّارِ وَهُوَ يَأْمُلُ فَضْلَكَ وَرَحْمَتَكَ. Or how should the fire cause him pain while he expects your bounty, your mercy? أَمْ كَيْفَ يُحْرِقُهُ لَهِيبُهَا وَأَنْتَ تَسْمَعُ صَوْتَهُ وَتَرَى مَكَانَهُ. Or how should its flames burn him while you hear his voice and see his place? Imam Ali alayhi salam continues, أَمْ كَيْفَ يَشْتَمِلُ عَلَيْهِ زَفِيرُهَا وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ ضَعْفَ. How should its groaning encompass him while you know his weakness? أَمْ كَيْفَ يَتَقَلْقَلُ بَيْنَ أَطْبَاقِهَا وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ صِدْقَهُ. Or how should he be convulsed among its levels while you know his sincerity? About this part of the supplication, we said that the mercy of his holy essence is so great that he grants great blessings for few acts of the servants on condition that they start the action, and they do not suffice with the supplication and dua. That is why the late Shaykh Sadu has narrated a strange tradition in his Thawabul A'mal, saying إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْكَسَلْ from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam says, avoid dullness and laziness. And as we concluded in the previous episodes, we understood that it would not be correct to try to fathom prayer and dua independent of the norms of the Almighty Allah. There are some sunan and norms that Almighty Allah has for this universe, and supplication is one of those on condition that it is accompanied with action. We perceive the hand of Allah the Exalted. We perceive His mercy and bounties in all of our affairs. We perceive the will of Allah, His facilitation throughout our lives. So we are in need of Allah at every moment. We are totally in need of Him. And we have brought our indigence and need to Him and no one else. This is implied by this part of the Kumail supplication. أَمْ كَيْفَ يَشْتَمِلُ عَلَيْهِ زَفِيرُهَا وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ ضَعْفَ. How should its groaning encompass him while you know his weakness? This supplicant has understood his own weakness and has brought his weakness towards the Almighty Allah. Because أَمْ كَيْفَ يَتَقَلْقَلُ بَيْنَ أَطْبَاقِهَا وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ صِدْقَ. This word صِدْق, his sincerity, is mentioned by Imam Ali alayhi salam, meaning that he has understood and he believes that he himself has weakness, but yet he has brought his weakness towards the Lord of the worlds. This is one of those keys of being involved in Almighty Allah's mercy.
my Lord, then how could he remain in torment when he hopefully relies upon your past forbearance, compassion and mercy? And how can the fire cause him suffering when he hopes for your grace and mercy? And how can its roaring flames char him when you hear his voice and see his plight?
Thank you, Allah, God, that we're here feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So brothers and sisters, we are in need of Allah at every turn of our lives. We are destitute in the face of His mercy and His bounties, and we see His success, His guidance to all of us. So accordingly, we pray to Him and He alone, and we take refuge in Him, and He is only able to take charge of all of our affairs with uprightness. And we ask Him not to leave us on our own, even for a moment. One of the best kinds of dua is that we ask Him not to make us dependent on other than Himself. However, there is one point in this, dear listeners. The like of this supplication that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ صِدْقَهُ, does not necessarily mean that since we have asked Allah to take charge of our needs, because He is aware of our needs, this does not mean that we keep away our needs and affairs from the people. We should not employ the natural causes that operate in the universe. The true meaning of supplication, as we see in this part, it is accompanied with action. It implies that we should pray to Allah to make His need toward others in extension to His need toward Him, the Exalted. To make our reliance on other than Him in extension to our reliance on Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make our dealing with other than Him in extension to our dealing with Allah. Not independent of Him, or not in a parallel to our dependency on Him, the Exalted. Because all the causes in this universe are first stage subservient to Allah. And He it is who has made them subservient to His creatures. So we must ask Him and no one else. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Thank you. IB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. This is Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have a very special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Now, in the religion of Islam, hijab is a very, we can say, crucial concept, which is very much merged with the body of the women. Whenever we say hijab, the women and the woman and the femininity comes to the minds of dear listeners and dear people all across the world. Now, the question is why the women should cover themselves, especially, we can say, the parts which are attractive for the men, not to be attracted by the men, by the eyes of the men, to be gazed at, sexually abused or verbally abused.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are two concepts here. One of them is the issue of hijab, and the second issue is the fact that the men need to control their eyes. Now, some women argue that, okay, Islam should encourage men not to look sexually at women without hijab. So why do we need to practice hijab? The men should be encouraged more by Islam.
Yes.
And the point is that these are two separated issues. I mean, the issue of hijab by women, and of course I will refer to the fact that hijab, according to the religion of Islam, is for both men and women.
Yes.
There are some only differences in the details. And controlling the eyes is, again, for both men and women. So these are two separated issues. And we cannot say that, okay, imagine that all women are practicing hijab, does it mean that in that case men are free to look at women with hijab in a sexual way?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is negative again.
Okay.
So it doesn't make any difference whether women are practicing hijab or not.
Okay.
The issue, the obligation of controlling the eyes is there,
yes,
whether they are practicing or not practicing. So the first point is that these are two separated mm-hmm. issues. The men should control their eyes.
Okay.
Also the women.
Yes.
Let me also refer to this point.
Yes, yes.
The men should not cover their body as women should.
Okay.
But does it mean that women are allowed uh-huh. to see the men with sexual way? The answer is again negative.
Okay.
So these are two separated issues. Both men and women should control their eyes, and both of them should practice hijab in a certain way, which is mm-hmm. different to some extent.
Here, the concept of chastity,
exactly,
effa and haya, is at work.
Definitely.
For both the men and the women. And as you said, controlling the eyes, not gazing, for example, at the body of the women. Of course, we are talking now in the Islamic, according to Islamic laws. In the yeah. Western world, in the secular world, something else is happening, unfortunately. Okay, and now, the women cover themselves fully according to Islamic teachings. But it's still, there are men who do not control their eyes and gaze. Still, there is a hope not to be attracted to the women with hijab, isn't it?
Exactly.
It is a barrier. It is an obstacle
yeah, sure.
on the way.
Of course, okay. Let me just